Do you want to know why you don't get along with your spouse at times? Do you want to know why you have difficulties with other believers at times? Do you want to know why you have trouble at work? Do you want to know why there's lacking unity between true believers at times? It's because Christ's word is not reigning in the heart so as to affect attitudes and behavior.
Welcome to this Tuesday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina.
And Dave, today it's Letter Day, and I have a phone message from Logan in Arizona. He said, "Thank you so much for what you are doing on the radio. God bless you." Well, Logan, you are so welcome, and may the Lord bless you also. We are so privileged to be able to share the Word of God, and we are so thankful for the Lord opening the doors to get His Word out on the radio. And I just want to thank our listeners who are supporting this ministry through your prayers or financial support. We are so thankful for how God is providing through you. And just remember, we can't continue this ministry unless the Lord provides through listeners like you. And so I'd ask you to pray if the Lord would have you support this ministry to partner with us in this life-changing ministry of the Word, getting out His Word to equip the saints and for the gospel to go out that the lost might be saved. We pray that you will.
And Greg, today we continue our look at overcoming hindrances to standing firm, specifically the issue of unity. And Paul makes this statement that we are to have Christ reigning in our hearts. Help me understand what that means.
Well, Dave, having Christ reigning in your hearts really means that you recognize Him as Lord over you, that you are allowing Him to direct your life, your choices, your habits, everything you do. You're submitting yourself to the living God.
So I say that He has permission to do what He deems best for my life, and then I just move on. So, Greg, help me understand this. How does that work?
Well, the reality is if you've truly submitted your life to Christ, then you're going to submit yourself to His Word. And that's not just a one-time thing. It's an ongoing daily walk with Him where you're yielding yourself to His authority as revealed in His Word. You're trusting in Him day in and day out. And we're going to see today that having Christ reign in our hearts is a daily reality, but it's a wonderful reality. Our text today is Philippians chapter 4, verses 2 to 3.
Well, thanks, Greg. And as always, if you have to miss a portion of today's broadcast, you can hear this entire program online at etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
You see, that's why it's so important that pastors preach the Word, to equip the saints for the works of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, Ephesians 4. So important. You see why it's so ludicrous to try to bring unity through dealing with the issues apart from changing the mindset in regards to those issues. When we think biblically, humbly receiving the Word, when it's dwelling richly in us, we set our mind on the things above, when we submit to God and His Word, there's going to be unity. Because we're going to realize we're sinners and we're messing up at times. We're going to confess and we're going to treat others who are sinning against us the right way. The defining mark of true unity is being of the same mind. Paul said back in chapter 2, make my joy complete, verse 2, by being of the same mind. You want to make your shepherd happy? Think like Jesus. You want to grieve Him? Just think the way you used to think. You'll do that if you're not transformed. So then, do you want to know why you don't get along with your spouse at times? Do you want to know why you have difficulties with other believers at times? Do you want to know why you have trouble at work? Do you want to know why there's lacking unity between true believers at times? It's because Christ's word is not reigning in the heart so as to affect attitudes and behavior towards one another. So then back to our passage. I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to live in harmony. And notice he says, in the Lord. In the Lord. It's impossible apart from being in Christ. You see, when we came to faith in Jesus Christ, we were placed into the body of Christ. We are in Him, but we have to abide in Him too. We need to trust Him. We need to rely on Him. I can know all the stuff. You can walk out of here today knowing everything I've said, but if you don't trust Him and abide in Him, it is fruitless and worthless. Apart from faith, it is impossible to please God. I need to trust God that when I apply His word to my heart, that He's going to take care of stuff. no matter how much it may blow up in my face or whatever it might be. I trust the Lord. He says, be same-minded in the Lord. There's a reliance, there's a relationship. So then with that in mind, we see very specifically that we are to have the same mind. That's the solution. But let me give you some specific applications based on our passage, because what Paul does first is he addresses them to work it out first. And that's always the way we see it in Scripture. You two work it out. But I guess it's had gotten so bad that he said, come alongside and help them, right? So how do we do this? So let's say you're in a conflict with another believer. You're both following the Lord, but yet there's a conflict. There's a spat going on. What do you do? Well, first of all, we need to address ourselves first. Am I irritated or angry? Ephesians chapter 4. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Do not give the devil opportunity. Did I do that? Guess what? You confess that, your spat's basically over. Is that me? Did I do that? Did I hold an attitude towards someone that was wrong and Satan is now using? Did I get mad? Did I get upset? Very important to recognize that. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 22, an angry man stirs up strife. Proverbs 30:33, for the churning of milk produces butter, and the pressing of the nose brings forth blood. So the churning of anger produces strife. You see, now with believers, we don't churn anger, we modify it, right? It becomes irritation. We don't confess it. We got to confess it. So how am I irritated? Am I angry? Confess it. Get right. And as we'll see in each one of these things, you go to the person that's in the situation and apologize. You confess to the Lord first. Secondly, have I taken offense at anything? Am I holding on to anything? Turn to 1 Corinthians 13. Did I get offended? Did someone say or do something that offended me? We'll see if we hold on to that, we're the problem. We got to deal with ourselves first. 1 Corinthians 13, I'm not going to read the whole portion, but look at verse 4, 1 Corinthians 13. Love is impatient. No, that's not it, right? When we're impatient, we're not walking in the Lord, right? Love is patient. That means someone says something that's not right. You trust the Lord. You endure through it. You're patient. Love is what? Angry. No, it's kind. There should be kindness. Kindness towards people around us, our kids, everyone. Kindness. Love is kind. Is not jealous. Does not brag. Love does not brag, nor arrogant. Does not act unbecoming. Does not seek its own. Is not what? Provoked. If you are being provoked by the circumstance in that moment, brother and sister, you're not being led by the Lord. You got to give it over to Him. You got to renew your mind. It's a signal. It's a signal. Love isn't provoked. So I let God's word indicate to me I'm going the wrong way. And I address it and trust Him. And He says here, does not take into account a wrong suffered. Doesn't have a list. You got a list about people. If you have anything in your heart about a list of people, you got a problem. And you are the problem in the conflict, by the way. Let the Word of God address your heart, because this happens with believers who are following the Lord. Eudia, Syndicate, following the Lord. Entrenched in the fight for the gospel. Yet they've let these things happen. They need to renew their minds in Christ. What about, am I unforgiving? Have I not forgiven someone? 2 Corinthians 2 says that we know Satan's schemes. We're not to be unforgiving. We give him an advantage. We do so. Do I lack his love? 1 Peter 4:8. Love covers a multitude of sins. Am I seeing the other person in this circumstance in light of God's word as more important than myself? If I'm not, I'm lacking his love and I am the problem. And lastly, there's a whole bunch. This is just examples of applying the word. Lastly, have I presumed? Now, I gave you a horrible example of that earlier, but you probably didn't understand the illustration I gave. But the reality is, we are not to presume. It's arrogant. It's ungodly. And we do it a lot. And I see at the root of much strife and difficulty is presumption. Proverbs 13:10, we see here, through presumption comes nothing but strife. Guess what? If you presume about someone, the only outcome is strife. That's it. So I look at it and I look at that. Have I presumed? Now, as a shepherd, by the way, I'm supposed to watch over the flock. And I'm supposed to watch over your spiritual condition. And there are times at which there are things that happen that aren't complete, but they sure point to something. It sure looks like that might be the case. Guess what? I deliberately do not make the conclusion because I don't know for sure. And I know that if it really is, God will have something else show eventually. It'll eventually be manifest if it really is. So I don't do it. Don't you do it. You see, when someone says something to you, don't presume you know the motive, that you know what's going on behind that. When you do, the outcome is strife. You might need to ask them, hey, what did you mean by that? Oh, really? I'm sorry, I misunderstood. Right? You know, I mean, you don't presume. So the first thing is, am I the problem? So I take God's word and I apply it over my life first. And if I am, I confess to the Lord, I'm forgiven, praise the Lord. Far as the east is the west, and I go to my brother or sister and I say, look, I'm really sorry. I was presumptive about that. Or if it's just maybe you didn't love them and maybe they were messing up and you know God wanted you to let it be covered, you just go, hey, I'm sorry for my attitude towards you. It's that simple. So then, first of all, we are to examine ourselves in light of the Word of God. And it's only after that, if we don't have sin in the circumstance and the spat is still there, then we go to the other person, okay? It's only after we know that we're right and our mind is thinking like Christ. And we go to the other person. And at that time, most of the time, love covers the multitude of sins. Most of the time, we just let it go even if they did mess up. Even if they were late or they were insensitive or they said something that hurt my feelings for the moment. Even if they did. We let it go. But if it's gotten to that point, which is very rare, and this is a situation here where it's not going away, you may need to go to that person. You may need to go to that person. You see, Scripture gives us a provision. You see, if someone has sinned against us, we're to go to them, right? Privately. Never saying, hey, I'm going to go talk to so-and-so about how badly he treated me. Pray for me, all right? Don't do that. Go to him privately. Or if it's the opposite and you think they have something against you, Matthew chapter 5, verse 23. A lot of times you can just sense, and I've had this happen. Now, most of the time it's with people who are non-believers, unbelievers, make-believers. It's not usually with people who are following the Lord. It shouldn't be that way. People who are serving the Lord with the right heart usually get over it, and that's done. But every once in a while it isn't that way, and here's what we need to do in case. Matthew 5:23, and you have already searched your heart, you have already gone through the Word of God, you're open to hearing even from them, even to have a change of something you didn't see. Matthew 5:23, if therefore you're presenting your offering at the altar, hey, you're worshiping, and there you remember that your brother has something against you. Okay, it's on their end, not your end at this point. You've already confessed, right? Okay, or even that's not even in the process, but look at the principle. Leave your offering there before the altar, go your way, and first be reconciled to your brother. Then come and present your offering. It's really important. You better not think you can worship God and not be reconciled. Reconcile. Go to your brother. Hey, I noticed that when I walk by you, you're looking away from me. You're not smiling anymore. I'm seeing the signs of things that concern me. Have I done something to offend you? Have I sinned against you? I want to be right with you. Now, also, there may be a situation where you start to discern that there is sin on the part of the other party. You've addressed your sin if it's there. Maybe not. Sometimes there is an innocent party. It's not always two parties. Sometimes there's one. But you've addressed it. Then we do what we heard read earlier. Turn to Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Brethren, even if a man is caught in any trespass, the point is, it probably isn't going to happen, but even if it does, tripped up, right? They're tripped up. They're snagged by something. They got snagged and their heart is wrong. They're sinning. It's not normally the way they are. They got tripped up by it. He says here, you who are spiritual. What that means, back in chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, right? It's someone who's walking by the Spirit. You better, if you're walking by the Spirit of God, not in your flesh. Then he says here, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness. It's gentleness. A lot of gentleness, a lot of kindness, folks. I see a lot of men are typically like this. We see it with kids, whatever it might be. And they're not gentle. They're harsh. Not to be harsh, be gentle. He says, and this especially with the interaction between one another. Restore such a one. Hey, brother, you know, I just noticed you're not looking at me. I notice you're snappy at me. Your attitude is bad towards me. And, you know, and it's been, and, you know, and this is a big thing, not small, not every little thing like that. I'll just give an example, right? He says, you who are spiritual, restore such a one. Each one in gentleness, looking to yourself, lest you be tempted. You could fall just like them. And then certainly we have Matthew 18, but I don't think it would come to that point between true believers who've been following the Lord. I think they're going to go, yeah, you know, I'm sorry. Hey, brother, you know, right? Okay, so first of all, we must resolve it between ourselves. Paul says, I urge you and I urge you, be same-minded. Apply the Word of God, have the mind of Christ towards the circumstance. But if that doesn't work and it becomes very serious, sometimes there needs the help. Guess what? If you got two brothers or sisters here that you know or love the Lord, they really do. They're not make-believers. They're not fakers. They're not only Sunday saints. They are faithful to the Lord. They're serving Him in the body of Christ. And there's a problem and it's not going away. They're not resolving it. He says here, indeed, verse 3, back in Philippians 4. Indeed, true comrade, I ask you also help these women who have shared my struggle in the cause of the gospel, together with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. He says, true comrade, we're not sure who this person was. It certainly was a man. Comrade is modified by the word true, which means genuine. It actually spoke of a legitimate child versus an illegitimate child. He's saying, true believer, this is a true believer. True comrade, some think it's Epaphroditus. Some think it's, who knows, they all got a bunch of ideas. The term comrade here reminds you of the old Soviet Union, but that's not what it is. It speaks of someone who is a fellow yoke fellow, a yoke fellow, someone I'm yoked to in the terms of companionship in ministry, a yoke fellow. So he's calling upon this true comrade, probably one of the leaders, and then Clement, who was probably one of the leaders also, only time his name is said, help them. How do they help them? Exactly what he told the ladies to do. Be same-minded. How do you help someone from the outside who's having a conflict? You allow the Word of God to help them see things rightly so that they would think like Christ. These women had struggled for the cause of Christ and they were to help. Now this term help is an interesting word. It's translated conceiving it sometimes. It's also used to speak of catching fish or grasping or arresting someone. It speaks of helping someone, but it speaks of grabbing them to help them in a sense. You know what I'm saying? You are coming up to them. You are helping them. Do you see what I'm saying? In Luke chapter 5, it speaks of the boats that came to help the boats that were full of fish that the Lord had put in there. And they were all sinking. They came close by to help. Okay? It's not help from a distance. It's coming alongside, grasping and helping. This means you have to be selfless. You need to be willing to obey the Lord and go alongside the difficulty and share the Word of God. Now, I think those are the leaders, but also he says here, also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. We see in Revelation and in other places that God has the book of life. Those are those who have overcome through the blood of Jesus Christ. Those are those who are truly saved. He's saying, you too, you true, genuine comrade, you're the real deal. You're the real deal. And Clement, go alongside, plus the rest of the true believers, come alongside. And who is the rest? It's everyone that's left. You see, if something gets to this big of a point between believers who've been in the Lord and following Him, then there needs to be some help. And this is how you do it. And notice he also says, the rest of my, what? Fellow workers. Now, I could give you a list of fellow workers in this church, to be honest with you. Those who are working under the Lord. I could give you a list of those who aren't fellow workers, at least right now. Maybe your desire is to do so. Praise the Lord. Ask Him how He can use you. Fellow workers. There's work to be done, brothers and sisters. There's work to be done in the ministry. The Word going out to build us up, that we would go into the world and share the gospel. There's work to be done. There's certainly different gifts. There's preaching and teaching among the church. The highest gift right now is teaching. Used to be apostles, prophets, and teachers. First, the apostles. Second, prophets. Third, teachers. The Word of God is important. But there are all the supporting gifts, the serving gifts that go alongside. There are those who minister together as fellow workers. Workers actually work. They do work. They expend effort. These are true believers, along with the rest of my fellow workers. He's calling upon true believers in the body of Christ to come to aid. And he's delineating who the ones are. Fellow workers. So then, we're to come alongside those who are in conflict. Galatians 1, Matthew 5, 23, personally first. And then we're to come along together. We see in 1 Thessalonians. Turn to 1 Thessalonians 5 and we'll finish up. Actually, with two passages and then we'll go to 1 Peter 3. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 12. But we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you, have charge over you in the Lord, and give you instruction, and that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another. Live in peace. Live in peace, brothers and sisters. No conflict. And don't be like the way the world is. You get conflict, then you go somewhere else. I'll go to a different church. Resolve the conflict. Get right with the Lord. He says, live in peace with one another, and I urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly. Those are out of step. Encourage the faint-hearted. Help the weak. Be patient with all men. It takes patience. How are we to overcome those hindrances to standing firm? How do we resolve conflict in the body of Christ? First and foremost, we resolve it within those parties initially first by seeking to have the mind of Christ. And this applies in marriage relationships, it applies in friendships in Christ, it applies in everything, but especially in the body of Christ. We seek to apply the truth of God to us personally first, confess if need be, and then we go to the others rightly. And then if there has to be the rest of the body, those who are following Christ, those who are actively working for Him, fellow workers, come together to help those. Let's close and turn to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. 1 Peter 3, verse 8. To sum up, let all be harmonious. This is actually a cognate of the word that we saw. Thinking the same. Let us all be harmonious. We're not thinking the same thoughts, but we're thinking thoughts that are in line with God's word, and it's like a beautiful harmony of music. It's all different notes, but they work together. All from the one who gave it. Be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. For you were called for this very purpose, that you might inherit a blessing. Let him who means to love life and see good days refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking guile, and let him turn away from evil. Let him seek peace and pursue it. Are you doing that? He says, for the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous and his ears attend to their prayer, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, in the moments that we have left in today's broadcast, you said in today's message that we need to have the mind of Christ as revealed in the Word of God in order for us to have unity. So tell me how do I actually do that in my day-to-day relationships with people that I come in contact with?
Dave, it's really simple. We need to be in the Word of God, and we need to allow the Word of God to permeate our hearts.
Now, with that in mind, it's important that we don't have sin in our lives. Otherwise, I'm not going to hear what God is saying through His Word. So confess your sin and be in the Word of God day in and day out. Let God's Word permeate your heart. Be the man or woman who meditates on the Word day and night, and you will find yourself spiritually prospering and reflecting the life of Christ.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.